is amazing, does amazing things. Father, just in a moment, as we walk into this service and into your word, we're so in need of you. Thank you. Thank you that you speak. In Jesus' name, amen. Can anyone tell me which river is the widest river in the world? Want to take a chance? Mississippi? Nope. Say again. The Nile? Nope. Nope. Let me help you. Nope. The widest river in this world is a river called If Only. And the sad thing is this, there are millions of people who stand on the banks of river, if only, looking to the other side thinking, if only I could get to the other side. Because they're convinced that on the other side of if only, there's a way better life waiting. Oh, if only I had more of this, then my life would be so much better. Oh, if only I could get that, then my life would be so great. Oh, if only this circumstance would change. Oh, that would be amazing. If only the kids would come. Oh, no, if only the kids would go. If only. Everything is just one if only away. Here's the question. Forgive me, it's too hot in that thing. Here's the question. Are you standing on the banks of that if-only river? Is there an if-only that is separating you from living a life of thanksgiving and joy and happiness and being content? If your answer is yes, then at least we know one of the reasons why we're living and being so anxious. Because everything is if only. Because here's the problem with an if only life. An if only life bases its happiness on one of two things. Either possessions or circumstances. Sometimes both. If only I had that, then I could do this, and then this would be, and if only that would be, then I'd be happy. If only this would change, if only that can be different, then, and before you know it, you're chasing rabbits from one rabbit hole to the other. Now I'm happy, now I'm not. Now I'm happy, now I'm not. Now I'm, no wonder this world is filled with lots and lots of anxious people. Now Paul, on the other hand, says, no. There's a different way of doing this. And we're going to work through Philippians 4 again this morning and try to understand what Paul is saying, because Paul says this: happiness does not happen when my circumstances change. Happiness happens when my attitude toward my circumstances changes. That makes sense. If only says, if only that. Happiness never happens. A life of thanksgiving and contentment says, so these are my circumstances. Let me change my attitude towards that and use what God has given me. So, Philippians 4, 6-7. Let's go there again. Paul says, do not be anxious about anything. Don't run with the if-onlys all the time. Do not be anxious about anything. But in everything, or any situation, through prayer and petition, and with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Underline in your Bible the two words, with thanksgiving. Boy, that's a big word. We touched that last week, just right at the end, because I wanted to keep the rest for you for today. We're in that moment where, remember, celebrate God's goodness. Ask God for help. Leave it with God. meditate on the good things with thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord, that I can bring my petitions to you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, that I may bring my requests to you. Thank you, Lord, that I may be in prayer before you. Thank you, Lord, that you know all about my life. Can we please, please put those two words in all of our sentences that we use when we stand before God? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Spirit, for who you are and what you do in my life. Because here's what happens. The moment I start thanking God, changing my attitude about my circumstances, I walk down from the banks of river, if only, into that amazing valley of God's already. Because here's what happens. That anxious, if only heart is always saying, if this happens and that happens, then I'll be happy. The grateful heart says, oh my goodness, Lord, I haven't even spoken to you about this. And look what you have done in my life. Let me try and explain this with an example. And forgive me, it's a simple example, but it's the best that my little mind could think of. For a moment, think that in your heart you have this bucket. And in this bucket is everything that God gives that you need to live an amazing life in this world. And sometimes you look down into your bucket and you think, boy, it looks a little empty. And then I go to my father and I said, Father, I want to talk to you about my bucket. And Father says, yeah, that's cool. Let's look into the bucket. And the moment I look back into my bucket, what I find is my Father has already provided all I need. I just needed to look. I just needed for a moment to say thank you, because you've already provided even before I have asked. So I want you to do something with me this morning. Are you okay to try a little something with me? I want you, sorry for the voice, it's still not working properly. I want you to look into your bucket in a moment. I want you to close your eyes. And I want you to look into your bucket. And praise team, if you want to come up, it's a good time to come up. I want you to look into that bucket and see. See all that God has given you. All that God places in that bucket, knowing what you need, knowing what you're going through, knowing what's in your life. And maybe you'll find, as you close your eyes for a moment, maybe you'll find as you look in your bucket that God has provided you with so many good friends that just love you and care for you. Maybe as you look in your bucket, you'll find that there are amazing family members, mothers, fathers, wives, husbands, children, teenagers, little babies. Maybe as you look in your pocket, you'll find the amazing grace of God that overwhelms and fills that bucket. As you look in that bucket, you'll see that list of sins that you had, and all of a sudden it's empty and clean because it's washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Maybe as you look in that bucket, you see a warm home when winter is coming, and food on the table to fill, to take care of you. As you think of this, we're going to sing a song, just one verse and one chorus. It's called Great is Thy Faithfulness. The words say, Great is Thy Faithfulness, O God, my Father. And then the refrain says, Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed. All I have needed, your hand has provided. Great. Great is your faithfulness when I put my bucket before you. Just as we stay seated, let's sing. I just called Kerry on Friday, Saturday, and I said, can you do that? And we did. Now I want to ask you something. So when you were looking into your bucket, and you started out and maybe it seemed a little empty, and then when you were talking to your father, and you actually saw how it overflows, did you see what happened? What happens when Thanksgiving comes in the door, that front door, worry and anxiety, they run like crazy to get out the back door. Because Thanksgiving sucks the oxygen right out of worry and anxiety. So the only way to get out of that dark valley of anxiety and worry, you start walking on a trail called, thank you, Lord. Say that often. Say that often. Can I say it again? Paul says, happiness doesn't happen when my circumstances change. Happiness happens when my attitude toward my circumstances changes. When I look in that bucket, and all I can say is, wow, thank you, Lord. How do we do that? My friend Mike Jennings, who moved, and I miss him, he's my prayer partner. Mike would always say, okay, Aubrey, that was good theology. Now what about the practical stuff? How do we do this in our lives? Let's ask Paul, because he has the answer. Same chapter, chapter 4, verse 11 to 13. And you can add this one, Alexander, to the list for my funeral. Philippians 4, 11 to 13. Paul says, I have learned to be, and underline that word, to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, to have nothing. I know what it is to have plenty, more than I need. I have learned the secret of being, and there it is again, content, happy in any and every situation, because my happiness does not depend on my circumstances. I've learned to be content in any and every situation, whether I'm well fed or hungry, whether I'm living in plenty or in want. How? I can do all of this through Jesus, through my Lord who gives me the strength. Can anyone say amen to that? I have learned the secret, not the principle, not the concept, not the dream. I have learned the secret of being content. The word secret in the Greek, if you go back to its root, means to have intimate knowledge of something. I have intimate knowledge of being content. Can I remind you, I said this 5 weeks ago, where Paul is sitting right now when he's writing this? He's in a jail in Philippi, 24/7. He's being watched by a guard. He's waiting for trial. He doesn't know whether he's going to get out of this jail ever or whether this is his last little bit on earth and whether he's going to die next time he goes out of this jail. And he sits in there and Paul says, hey, I'm happy. I'm okay. I'm taken care of. Not the circumstances, but because God gives me the strength to get through this. See, he says the two things that I said in the beginning. Happiness, let's do the first one, does not depend on what I have or my possessions. I have learned the secret, whether I have plenty or whether I have nothing, whether I'm well fed or whether I'm hungry. You see, happiness is not parked in my garage. Happiness is not put in my mortgage. Happiness is not in what I wear. Happiness is living before my God and looking at my bucket and seeing that. question. Where do you find your happiness? In what you drive, in what you have, in what you wear? Here's the problem if we do that. We go right to the river of if only. Because it gets stale quickly. Oh, if only I had the new model, because there's a new model that came out. Oh, if only I had a bigger one. Oh, if only that was... And I'm back to the rabbit holes, and I'm running. Happy, not happy. Happy, not happy. Because it's circumstances and possessions. They go. They're fleeting. They're here today. They're gone tomorrow. But who does not change? God. God's promises doesn't change. God's presence doesn't change. God's care for me doesn't change. And Paul says, that's what I build it on. I have a different list. I do not look at these things because, just for a second, what did he have writing this right there? He didn't have a home. He had a jail cell. He couldn't be in the mission field where he wanted to be. He had four walls. He didn't have jewelry. He had chains. And yet, says Paul, I am content. I'm happy. I give thanks. Why? Because when Paul opens his list and looking at, he says, Philippians 1, I know that I have everlasting life in Jesus. He looks at his list and he says, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, I have faith, I have hope, but boy, I have God's love, and the greatest of these is his love. He goes down his list and he says, Romans chapter 8, I have forgiveness of all my sins. What does he write there? Chapter 7, he ends, he says, look at me, I'm this terrible man, who can help me? And then he smiles in chapter 8 and he says, I thank God in Jesus Christ, for there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I have forgiveness. What more do I need? And maybe the last little line on his list, he says, and I have the certainty of my salvations, Philippians chapter 3. He says, man, I have all the things that you could think of in the world and all the accolades. I have it all, but I consider that rubbish, junk is actually the word that he uses. Because I have this one thing. I'm striving for that life and salvation in Jesus Christ, my Lord. That's where I find my happiness. Not in my possessions and my stuff. In Jesus, my Lord. Which takes us to that second one. My happiness does not depend on my circumstances. Give you the examples again. Not this time, previous time. They put him in jail in Philippi. What does he do in the middle of the night? They're all sleeping. What does Paul do? He starts singing. Singing hymns to the glory of God, and he wakes them all up. He's in jail. He's not miserable. I am content with whatever I have, for I have found the secret, and the secret is Jesus Christ, who is with me wherever I am in all of my circumstances, whether I'm healthy or whether I'm sick, whether I'm doing good or whether I'm not doing good. Jesus Christ is not changed. He sits in Rome, in jail again. What does he do? He says, hey, bring some parchment and give me a pen, and give me some ink. And he writes, and we can read, do not be anxious about anything. But in everything, give thanks to God. He's in jail. Shouldn't he be miserable? Nero says, I'm going to kill you. Paul writes Philippians 1, 21. Well, here's the thing. For me to live is Christ. And to die? Man, I'm looking forward to that. Because that is joy. You can't touch me. My circumstances don't touch me. It's how I think of my circumstances. Because here's the thing. Who can take your Christ? Tell me. Who can take my Christ from me? Who? No one can take my Christ. And if no one can take my Christ and I have him, who can take my joy? Can death take my joy? No. Because he has overcome death and he's taken the sting away from death. Can failure take away my joy? And we fail so often. No, because he says, I've forgiven that. And I'm going to pick you up and I'm going to walk with you because I'm the God of second chances. Can sickness take away my joy? No, because he makes the promise that if it's not on this side of the grave, on the other side of the grave, he will heal me. Can disappointment, when things fall apart, take away my joy? No. Because my plans might not work, but God says, Jeremiah 29, I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you and to give you a future. Paul says, there is nothing that we have in Jesus. There is nothing in this world that could be greater than that. So, here's my invitation. Get down from the banks of If Only. Take his hand. Do not be anxious about anything. But by prayer and petition, go live in thanksgiving before the Lord. For great, great is your faithfulness, morning by morning. New mercies, I see. Amen. Take a few moments of silent prayer. Oh Lord, how do we say thank you? We don't have the words. Thank you for your Spirit that takes the words. Thank you for all that you give. Thank you that even before we ask, you have provided. Thank you that you are way more than our circumstances. We love you and we adore you and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.